Hello and welcome to the latest Nerd Action Podcast. This podcast features me and Dave, who's recording in the Eurotunnel queue, two headed back to the world after the gas on the in a massive Charlotte invasion. In this podcast, we talk about army listening positions, which is industrial decay, and where the fruit of the is more of an exception to the license. Right, so here we are. So we're waiting to get back on a ferry. Well, not a fat ferry, on the Tunnel Suze La Manche, in a bit of a queue in a holding area that I think is either to keep us in or keep refugees out, really. And we're surrounded by people from Kent and Essex, I believe, just looking at the demographics here. No offence if you're from there. All waiting to get back as well. It's about 8:15 on a Sunday evening, European time. And I'm sat here with Dave. Say hello, Dave.
Hello. There's a guy over there who looks like Hammy.
Oh my, there's a guy who looks like Hammy, and then there's another guy who looks like, That bloke off that telly program. Where that, who was it? That James McAvoy was in. What's that one called?
No idea.
So that's a bit, all sorts of odds and sods there. Creeping up around here now. And we're on our way back from the worlds. Dun 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 dun. In Charleroi, which has been quite an adventure, really.
Played the games, bought the T-shirt.
Literally, bought the T-shirt because it was so bloody hot that it was actually impossible to wear the same T-shirt all day, because even for a wargaming weekend...
A Frenchman sitting there with towels around their necks.
Oh, Frenchman with wet towels around their necks.
Enormously fat Frenchmen with
towels.
Fat
French people with towels around their necks, sweating so much they're... Like those global hypercolour T-shirts, do you remember those?
Yes, I do actually remember those. I didn't have one myself, but
Some people are actually doing that just by changing colour through sweat alone.
Well, I don't know, I've got a salt stain on the front of this.
Is that a salt stain?
Yeah,
are you sure that's a salt stain?
This is my World's 2014 T-shirt with a salt stain on the front.
Right, okay. No, I think I'm on about T-shirt number 6. It's been about 30 degrees and the place we've been gaming was basically... It was a bit designed. It was a sports hall that was designed like a giant pizza oven, and it actually appeared to function like a pizza oven in the heat as well, which was just kind of bonkers. But we played 6 games of Art de la Guerre, and more importantly, we've been to the glamorous and exotic sounding town of Charleroi in Belgium, home of EasyJet's cheap airport, and.
I'd say Charleroi twinned with Detroit, if Detroit would accept it, on the level of industrial decay.
Oh, it's just staggeringly. Staying at the Ibis, which you got to because it's cheap, opposite the railway station, and the view of the railway station was the best view in the entire town, really. The rest of it, you were looking for Robocop, really, weren't you?
Yeah, it was pretty shocking, actually.
But he was probably not coming out because he was probably a bit scared. We were the only building in about 3 blocks that was occupied. Everything else had been shut, people had been chucked out, construction going on.
Huge amounts of construction. The whole city centre just been closed down, basically.
Yeah, it's bizarre, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Completely weird. But it must be... to actually clear that many people out, it did make you think that it must be because they're council-owned buildings or something. Because it was just sort of shops and houses and everything, and people have been told to go and just moved off somewhere else, which I guess you couldn't really do in the UK. People would own them.
Or maybe it was that BBC 4 TV series where the Flemish said there was
a zombie attack or something
and everybody left.
There could have been a zombie attack. Well, certainly, if you'd had much more of that beer from the first evening, when you were into, what, 12%?
12%, yeah.
12%.
It's a bit scary when you're going, ooh, can I have a pint of Stella Artois for something a little lighter? you really mean it?
please, I just want to, I can clean my teeth with Stella compared to some of this stuff. No, but I stayed off. Did you go fruit on Friday as well? Or did you just go 12% and...
No, it's 12. I had the ambre, which tasted like whiskey, quite frankly.
I did think the bloke was going to set it on fire, like a flaming Sambuca, but it was lager.
But the mill frites were good.
The mill frites, yes. Were good. Yeah, we, we, we delayed it for a while, didn't we? We thought we faffed around about where we might going to go, but we did know all along that the place with the enormous flashing red sign going Jumbo Malls, Jumbo Malls
from Zealand
was just going to draw us in. And we
eventually went two litres each.
Four of us.
I'm recommending. We tried to have less.
So we had 8 litres of Malls between four people and a massive bowl of chips. And some were mustard.
Yeah, some was mustard. Lyonnaise mustard.
And some were just like classic
white wine.
And I don't even think they were Flemish. I think they were those kind of Thai ones or something.
No, they were from Zealand.
They were Zealand. Yeah, they were actually Zealand mussels. Yeah. Okay. So we tucked away most of that and quite a bit of beer, and then drove through
industrial hell.
It was like Sheffield on steroids.
I've never seen anything quite like that for.
Oh, just decay.
Yeah.
Just huge. Broken steelworks being rusting to pieces, all completely unoccupied.
And not a soul in sight,
it's just dead. And then we'd been told to get drinks or something before we went to the venue, which turned out not to be necessary, really. But
Saturday was the
hottest
day.
But we stopped at the world's weirdest supermarket.
Oh, yeah.
It was like a Turkish
Lidl.
Lidl, yeah, a kind of down market Turkish Lidl.
I think that was a bit cruel. I quite liked it.
No, well, he had its own charm, didn't it? Yeah. But it didn't have a beer section.
No,
which
no,
for Belgium not. Is not really good. So it was kind of a crap Turkish Lidl, really. Where we got an obscure collection of things, and then we sort of ended up almost in the countryside. In kind of possibly the nicer bits of...
It was nicer, but it wasn't exactly Hampstead, was
it? No, it wasn't.
Or Knightsbridge.
Knightsbridge, Hampstead.
Charleroi.
No, Charleroi. It might have been the Knightsbridge of Charleroi.
I think some of the houses might have had gardens, let's put it that way.
Yeah, and some of them had... Quite a lot of them had shutters that were down all the time. We got into the brick oven, the brick oven pizza oven, the blast furnace. The blast furnace,
which has been converted into a sports hall.
Indeed. And then, we absolutely suffered. It was absolutely brutal. I've done events in Italy and Rome and stuff, and this was the hottest. It must have been north of 30.
Yeah. Oh, it was more than
outside.
That.
It was outside, but inside it was. Yeah, it was absolutely.
Even sat down, you would just suddenly feel a blast of heat and start to A, suffocate, and B, perspire profusely.
Oh, grim. Yeah, so our Central London pre-Brexit World Tour t-shirts lasted about half a day.
Do you think we're trying to cover up the fact that we were so crap in our games here by talking about the weather?
Yeah, we are talking about the weather, yeah. Yeah, it's not. Out of the massive team of five of us,
day one was not a success.
So we all played three games on day one.
That's 15 games played by Central London.
Played by Central London for a total of one victory, which was achieved in this French, Belgian, European, Spanish competition over a visiting American. So we failed to beat anyone from mainland Europe at all. In day one,
there were seven English speakers.
Seven English speakers, and they won three games between them on day one, one of which was against the other. So this Art de la Guerre stuff is...
It's a fast play, 2.5 hour game, which can be finished in an hour
if you're very English. But we've kind of been... thought we were doing all right, really, didn't we?
We thought we understood it.
Got the rules, understood it all, but there's quite a lot of tactics, isn't there, really, that we just don't have a clue about. Just
showing up with an army full of knights.
Oh, well, completely wrong.
Completely thrashed.
Completely wrong composition. Just, we thought we had it sussed. We knew what we were doing, but just people turning up with different structures, different lists, different formats. All sorts of different things that just, you know, my three games, I was just beaten tactically, not on rules.
They've been playing for four or five years, haven't they? And they've been through they've been through the generations of the rules.
And they've been through the army list, and they've seen people play different things. Yeah. We've played, you know, half a dozen people in the same ecosystem. Yeah. But yeah, the
just the worst one is Pete Webby, one Britcon, best English player in the country.
Yeah, in the country,
whose army was just being thrashed. Yes, soundly.
He struggled to get. By the end of the weekend, he got 2 wins and 4 defeats. I think.
Yeah.
That was it. It was just staggering. I think my first game, I got, I just got run over by a wall of poor quality Scottish pikemen, which was an army I didn't even think would be half competent, really, or I'd never even looked at. But no, it was just something you just don't know how to deal with. It was just right in your face.
Heavy foot pike?
Heavy foot inferior pike. They move first, they advanced across the table, they got good dice. Suddenly I've got nowhere to go and it's turn one.
So it's a bit like the Low Countries.
Yeah, it's a kind of, it's a low, low rent Low Countries.
Scottish version.
Yeah, and play a few more medieval armies and they all seem to have a different composition to mine. They all had... I got into all sorts of trouble against fast-moving medium foot, but my army couldn't do a lot about. It just ran over my bowmen.
I didn't see any medium foot.
Really?
No.
Not even the Chinese armies?
No, the Qin army was all heavy foot, impact, which another 5-10 minutes I would have beaten.
My worst game on day one. Not against the Qin, it was about against the Han Chinese. And they had 5 elite impact medium foot swordsmen. They had 5 elite heavy infantry two-handed cutting weapon. They had 3 chariots. They had some bowmen in there and the rest of it. And my ally, which was a free company ally, which had a lot of good quality heavy weapon infantry and a dismounted knight and some English longbowmen, rolled a 1 in the first turn, which meant it was unreliable, which meant it couldn't move or shoot until it either rolled a 6 in another turn or somebody came within 4 movement distance units of it, and my opponent didn't come within 4 movement distance units of it.
That's a shock.
That was a shock. Yeah. And in that process, he managed to destroy nearly everything else in my army.
Was he Han or Qin?
He was Han.
Oh,
he was Han.
Okay.
But so the only thing,
the same guy I played.
The only thing in my army that was still left alive was left alive because he'd broken my army before he had to kill it. I ended up with 2 longbowmen and 1 light horse that I could move. That was all I had left. He'd eaten everything else with these 10 fearsome, unbeatable bloody infantry. I was just like, why have I picked my army? It's tosh. Well, particularly with the third of it not moving. But
I was really worried horrendous. After the first game, where I got completely taken apart in an hour and a half by a guy with the same army as me, but a completely different composition of much better.
So what had he done differently?
He had pike, right. Lots of pike.
Lots of pike?
Yeah.
Okay.
But is it 3 or 4? Knights, not knights.
3, 4, 5, something like that?
5.
5.
But his army, his first die roll was his unreliable ally, which was unreliable, throwing a 1. Then his other ally threw a 1 as well, so I thought this is going well.
That's got to go well, yeah.
And then my ally probably threw a 1.
Oh, so you've got 2/3 of the troops on table and not even moving.
Even then, after an hour, he's flashed.
And he's still thrashed with only one of his commands.
He had 2 brilliant generals, so he could activate the rest.
Pips.
Yeah.
Now that seems to be the thing, doesn't it? You know, I just went 3 competent generals that just had +1 to that dice roll. Yeah. I think a lot of the Brits did, but the number of times you came up against generals that are adding 2 or 3 to the command pip roll.
Less strategists this time.
Yeah, not less many strategists, but a lot of brilliant generals. In fact, I think the guy with the Han army had a 2 brilliant generals,
yeah,
which was enormous amount of command and control. So that was a learning thing. So it was just a complete washout that first day. Complete washout. Oh, hang on. Let me look. Let me just see if I can...
Cough.
There's wasp out.
Snuck in on from shoulder.
Come on, matey. Out you go. And he's off. Well, hey. Good. The wasp is out.
This file next to us is moving.
We might actually be getting on the old Ferrier armour in a minute. So
over the weekend, I played six games, had 1 victory, 2 utter defeats, 3 sort of winning draws, which I proclaim them as winning draws, but they're really just draws. They're just draws, really.
Well, I managed two wins when I was at the bottom of the table and clawing my off the bottom, and four defeats, complete army total, crushing defeat. So,
but you, one of your games finished quicker than the one that I played the first, which was a shocker.
I lost to a 15-year-old. It's terrible. just shameful. But then at least we did manage to finish earlier than a lot of other people, and get back to the blasted wasteland that was Charleroi town centre.
And then get lost trying to drop people at the
station. Get lost trying
to drop. Round and round.
No, the second night though, we ended up sat in the same square. To our credit, we didn't go back to Moore Street, did we?
Yeah, but that was good, yeah. Yeah.
We held off and we were faffing around.
It's a strange wine house.
Strange wine house bar, because it's like there's little bits of posh, isn't it, that are trying to creep out, or people are having a bit of a go.
It wasn't that posh.
No, it wasn't that
posh. It was all right. It was all right. Yeah. It was fun.
But it did have some mad tapas, though, didn't it?
Tapas was good, yeah.
Tapas
was
very good.
Deep fries, Scotch bonnets, olive
Scotch
thing. Bonnet,
Scotch eggs
with olives in the middle. Yeah, they were interesting.
Those little pasties, when they had that
sardine things. They were
sardine pasties with chili sauce.
They were actually quite
that chili
Sri Lankan.
Maybe that was it. That chili sauce was pretty pokey, wasn't it? Actually,
I think it was the sardines.
Maybe it's the sardines that were in it.
There's a Sri Lankan place near me that does something like that.
Right. Okay.
This isn't very wargaming we're talking. Getting off the subject.
No, we're trying to get off the subject, but look, it's all about the weekend.
I've had a fantastic time. I wouldn't miss Charleroi for anything. I don't think I'd go back, but no, it was extraordinary city.
Because some people stayed out near the airport. In a way, they might have, you know,
avoided the dereliction
and
destruction,
but possibly also they might have seen something not seen the staggering urban decay and post-apocalyptic sort of zombie zone that we saw. But
it's the sort of place that somebody should be sent back by the Observer to take photographs of the place.
I think online you can look at videos of tours of post-industrial decay. There's a Dutch guy that's jumping around on YouTube doing it. So, but I think we're going to have to just put this on a bit of a pause at the moment, because we're going to have to use the iPad to find out what our code is to get on the channel, because we are moving. So we will return shortly.
Oh, time. We got to stay positive.
So we're back online. Yeah, but why not?
Yeah, yeah.
So we're now in a vehicular queue, trying to do that kind of politely nudge your way in sort of thing.
What do you mean, like people pushing and
pushing? It's basically...
You wouldn't get that sort of behaviour in Charleroi.
No, you wouldn't. No, nobody's got a car.
No, there aren't many people to have a car.
They probably knife each other or something. Yeah, it's a lot of Mercedes, Mercs pushing it, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it is mostly Mercs.
And
nothing that you see in these BMW drivers.
No, you wouldn't do that. No, it's not BMW drivers. They're all much more polite. They've been there already. And we're heading towards some form of border control. I suppose Charleroi's almost got its own borders, in that the motorway one-way ring system appears to just be changing almost on a daily basis.
Before it falls down.
Oh yeah, that bridge.
Three holes in the roof.
Imagine,
the M20's blocked at the moment.
I suppose the M20's fallen over as well.
The bridge has fallen down.
Which literally has fallen down in England.
Which at least they don't. That doesn't happen in Charleroi.
Not that we've seen. Yeah. So what were we talking about? Food last night. Yeah. So we had spicy anchovy thing.
Yes.
And then we were going to go somewhere else. So we sat out in the square, which would have been a bit better if they'd actually put some trees in it. It's all been done, but it is a big, massive concrete expanse, isn't it? that skims over an underground car park of some sort. And
I don't think we were moving far. Jeez,
we were
extremely
far,
strong beer we'd already consumed.
You were on fruit, were you? No, actually a few people were on fruit last night.
No, the governor of the place we were in kept coming up going, "It's Trappist, it's Trappist."
It's Trappist,
everything. As if this was a selling market.
What, and?
Yeah, I don't want the 12% strength Trappist stuff, please.
Oh, this one is Trappist. And then we drank him out of normal beer.
Yeah.
And then he had to go get some more. And
he had a lot stashed out
the
back.
He had a lot stashed out the back, I think, yeah. And then we talked for about 3 hours vaguely about looking for somewhere else to eat. And then we just decided to ask the place where we were to do us some food, by which time they'd stopped doing food. And
but the wife was still dinner.
The wife was eating a dinner outside.
She was eating a fish.
Eating a fish outside. And she was going to stab us with a fork, I think.
Yes.
But then and our husband Sweet talked her into it, and we ended up with a chicken curry.
I think he was dubious whether she... I think he was being... You know, but she was going, money, 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 money.
Yeah.
Take the mad Englishman's money.
Money.
Quickly.
Yeah, we had chicken curry.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
With rice and peas.
With rice and peas, or not if you were Gordon. Gordon picked them all out, didn't he?
Yeah, that was strange. You know, like Gordon having drunk some 12% lagers.
Deciding he didn't like peas as well.
Yeah.
Maybe those two things were linked. Possibly.
Yeah.
And then the next day, I did actually get caught out checking out the hotel. The bloke did notice I'd been in for breakfast because I was trying to get away with it. But I only admitted to one. So it worked out €7 a day, which wasn't too bad. Because I did have sausages at least once.
They had sausages?
They had sausages this morning, yeah.
In the buffet?
Yeah.
That's quite unusual for a continental breakfast.
That's it. They were those little kind of slightly... You worry that they're undercooked ones, but...
What, German Frankfurter type things?
Kind of, but they were sort of browned.
Right.
So I managed to get four in a sausage sandwich and a little bit of egg on it, so that was good. And back through the blasted wasteland to play other people.
And not quite as hot today.
Not quite as hot, no.
Had its moments.
I wore my lucky Fiorentina shirt. And lucky.
Was it lucky?
It was lucky, yeah, it was very lucky. And I actually won my first game playing someone with a Roman army who...
He was pretty awful.
He wasn't the best.
Peter beat him
as well, yeah.
But not as bad as the guy with the Seleucid army.
Who we all played
in. The Frenchman who had to play four Englishmen six games.
Out of five of us.
He progressively chased him round the table with knights.
Because I played him at Smyrna as well.
Yeah. He's a nice guy.
He was a lovely guy. Yeah, he's the bloke wearing European trousers in the first game at Smyrna, if you read that online. And in fact, I had a conversation with him about that, and he said, "It's very strange because we're all Europeans, so what are European trousers?" So I go, "Well, they're not trousers that English people would wear." And I said, "He said, yeah, but you are Europeans." Yeah,
not anymore.
Not anymore.
I invited him to England so he could play some more Englishmen.
He could bring his European trousers.
If he hasn't played enough Englishmen over the last English weekend, he could play some more.
Those elephants he had were really nicely painted, weren't they, I thought?
I liked the armour on the head.
Yeah, that was good. They were really good.
I didn't like the little fan thing.
I think mine was better.
Okay.
Possibly.
Yeah.
I like the bit where my light infantry attacked them and I took them off.
That's quite good. Fun.
That really is. Light infantry pants so much at the time, but against elephants with two overlaps, they're quite good.
I think I should put
my general into combat with light infantry. He was that far ahead against an elephant.
This is becoming a staple of mine that my integral knight impact general attacks light horse or medium horse and progressively loses to them.
You're going to have to stop
with
that
a integrity. Plus five factor.
Actually, thinking about it, I'm not sure. I think I only saw one integral general in my opponent's armies all weekend.
I saw a few.
Out of 18, and that was the guy who was the bloke with the Romans who I beat.
Right.
So he had one.
French like to do that. I've picked it up.
Right.
I've got one.
Well, actually, I played three Italians, though, so...
I've not played any Italians.
Maybe that's different.
I found the Italians quite hard work last time when we were in Germany.
Right, okay. A little bit tricky. But
the guy insisted on using a dice, which was plus two, minus two. Oh,
that yes, I remember that, yeah.
Zero. For the, and trying to explain to me which was a six and which was a five.
No, that's
and harsh, it was like, it? And then he gave it me at the end of the game, which felt like I'd been completely had. I still look at it and go, what the hell is this
what
about?
What am I going to do with it? Yeah. It was like a bizarre average dice, wasn't it?
It was more like he threw the dice and then I had to wait for him to tell me whether it was a six or not.
Yeah, it looks like you lost with that one.
Yeah, no, exactly. No, that's, I'm too more than you there. Okay, yeah. Okay. I think the only people who actually use this tunnel really are Brits, though, aren't they?
I think it is, there's a lot. Yeah. Okay. Getting ready to go back. So the bloke with the Romans, did you play him?
No, I wish.
Yeah, well, you wish. Yeah.
I wish I would have got two victories.
I think he had five or six elite legionaries with everything, and I don't think I fought any of them, and I just killed the rest of his army. And I only lost 7 out of 20 in that thing.
His impact warband was shredding Pete's
infantry.
No, yeah, Swiss pike in his French Ordnance Army. And because the guy couldn't speak any English
at all. No.
And Pete could hardly speak any French, they had to keep asking me about the rules. And they were trying to explain to each other that the warbands get a furious charge on the Swiss. Yeah. And Pete was like, no, they don't. I'm going, yes, they do. And then trying to explain to the French guy that I was telling his English opponent that French guy was right.
I think that was the most French game I played. The bloke spoke not a word, and he spoke it in a way that was... He didn't make any concession to the fact you didn't speak any.
She said, you know, he had no franglais at all.
He had no franglais, but he just talked. Yeah. He didn't try and use more simple words. He didn't slow down. He just talked normal.
That's what was going on, because I was being called over to listen to blah, 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 blah. And
I
was trying
most
to speak
of it.
My pidgin French.
But you're playing him, you get into this thing where you're nodding along because because you want to keep him talking, and that's what you do in a social interaction. But then you realise you've no idea what he said.
Yes.
And then he takes three of your fingers off.
Yes. No. Something like that.
But my longbowman shredded his mountain command. And then our European trousers man, whose name we really should remember. Bruno, probably.
I think it's Bruno.
Pretty sure it's Bruno. European trousers man.
Yeah.
With his classical Seleucid type army.
It's three elephants.
Three pikes. Three cavalry.
Javelin men, some cavalry that just run away, some crap thracians,
some bowmen, which is a nice little army. But that elephant and bow command with the crap thracians,
I don't get that.
He couldn't quite work out what it was supposed to do. I couldn't work out quite what it was supposed to do.
He kept turning round when I was playing it.
No, it sort of ploughed forwards with mine, but then the elephants come forward and you kind of have to leave the bowmen behind because they're rubbish. And I'd shot one of the two swordsmen. Killed it. Which
the Sassanid-looking guy.
Yeah, the Sassanid with the bubble hat. With the bubble hat. Yeah. And that had taken an enormous amount of capability out of that command because it was suddenly I only had two elephants who could go.
It sounds exactly like the game that I was playing. Yeah. My longbow was shredding his swordsman.
And I took one of them out before it even got close. And but he took my baggage, and he thought he had me. I was on 16 out of 20 dead. And he was on a 24 army, I think. He was on about 15 or something. And I just had a really, you know, I'd set these things up, and I had a few really good combats in a row and took it over the edge. But to lose your baggage in a 20 element army, because the baggage is 4, and then pull that back, was just like, yay!
The first guy I played.
And I could sort of see it as well. It was like one of those where you think, I'm going to lose this, I'm going to go down to about 18 dead. But I can see a way to get 8 of his almost in a turn. just turn this, kill the elephant, one thing behind it, a bit of rampage.
I don't think we'll ask the French policeman.
Maybe not ask the French policeman in the podcast, yeah.
You might get a bit upset.
Yeah, possibly.
Send us to the back of the queue.
Send us back to France.
Back to the Charleroi. To the Ibis in Charleroi.
To the Ibis in Charleroi.
We did have a third night booked, didn't we? I don't think they'd be any problem with getting in.
No, not at all. No, we could have stayed.
We'd probably have the same rooms if we wanted. Oh,
yeah, here we go. Let's just wave past Mr. Frenchman.
Behave ourselves. Merci.
Bonjour.
De passant.
De passant.
Oui. Merci.
Merci. On y va. Right.
Well, they're obviously looking for Belgian wargamers trying to leave the country.
The Americans.
Yeah.
Looks like we're...
Now we've got to go through the English passport nonsense.
I wonder where they're going to wave us on now.
Oh, look, we're in the middle of it. Oh, look, this guy's just come back in.
He's just come back in?
He's just been sent over there and he's come over here.
We're staying behind the Mazda 6.
Yeah.
So, this is... Are we actually going... We're not being sent into the terminal.
Yeah.
Yay! This could be a very good result. So I think last time we were sent to the terminal.
Yeah, we did.
We did do terminal, but we were in...
Actually, you know what? I think this guy might be sent to the terminal. He just waited until they turned their back and leapt into the queue. Hopefully he'll get sent to the back because he's got the wrong letter on his hanger.
But look, you know, if you've got a number plate that's FKT, you're a bit close to...
Fuck it.
So you're done. So what's our next one after... We've got Spain.
We've got warfare as well.
We've got warfare.
Spain's first. I think it would have been rather helpful if we got to play warfare before.
We'll
come back to warfare and we'll be so honed to a European standard of art to the Craig Barr will not know what his
is. What's
I'll just shred his.
We're going to have the maddest army composition. What are we going to do? We're trying to reverse engineer all the armies that we've tried to be beaten by.
What was this nonsense we've been talking about? 68 cohesion points. No,
that was the 70-odd.
You need to have 75 cohesion points in your army.
In your army.
And I had 56.
I had 63. So our armies were 20% too small to be viable, which is just painful, really.
Which is just really, really...
It's an interesting concept, though, isn't it? Thinking of just how many hits your army can take before it's completely wiped out. Because there's points, there's numbers of elements. But
it's actually quite good because in Fog AM, if you took the French ordnance, you took it in only one format.
Yeah.
With tiny variations.
Yep.
Here you can take one army and have a completely different army from something else.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, the condottiere is even more ridiculous. That's like six lists in one.
Oh, completely. But
the army that...
All the lists I played against were all viable lists.
Yeah, yeah.
And they all could have, gave my army... Well, four of them gave it a beating. But the other two could have given it a good old go.
Well, the army that Julian Lopez... Lopez was giving Peter Webb this army list for a later Achaemenid. And it looked like a complete bodge job of every troop type in alternate order.
Because in this, you've got, as I found against that Scottish thing, even though all the pikes were poor and my halberdiers should have cut through them, just quantity has a quality all of its own. Yes. You know, it's a cliche, but it seems to work in these rules because I think overlaps are so important.
Yes.
And the combats are, a little bit kind of even, but quantity, you get past people's flanks, you turn into them just because you're engaged.
There aren't any quick kills.
There's not that many quick kills,
unless you're me being hit by a general knight in the flank.
Yeah, there's not quick kills. So you're fighting for a while, so if you're past their flanks or you make a breakthrough, it does make a difference.
Yeah.
So you can do something with it.
And even if you do kill something quickly to your front, you don't really pass through their line.
No, not for a while. So yeah, I think it means I'm going to go back for thinking about warfare Seville.
You're going to go back for the 30-element army of Dross.
No, I think for warfare, I might try a kind of wall of warband type thing. So I think they'll be interesting against people who...
You need a strategist.
You need a strategist for it. You do. You do. And Spain, I'm in two minds really now. Well, is there a theme for it yet?
I've no idea.
I'm not sure.
No, I don't think there is. Maybe it's open. We should have asked June, and that was maybe. Bloody good reason for what we should have done.
And Spain's five games? Do we know?
Hope so.
Hope so. So,
must I'm be happy fun. With six if it's been getting away with it.
Five or six. But I'm almost tempted just for comedy purposes, you know, to take like ancient British or sub-Roman British or something that's just British.
I've got a really badly painted Gallic armour. Which is probably the second army I ever did. And it's almost embarrassing.
Oh, come on, Dad. Get some army painter. Tart it up.
Well, I think...
Or is it beyond that?
It's a whole drawer in the Bisley thing. Infantry warband. So there's plenty of them, but they all need peeling off their stands and rebasing.
Would it be... would you army painter it? Would it help?
No.
Because it does, bad. It saves them. It makes bad paint jobs look much better.
This is really bad.
Really? Okay.
Not that you don't see some pretty terribly painted armies in some competitions.
There's a few,
But I was actually thinking...
Spain, though, they're fantastic.
Yeah, but I was actually thinking the standard...
Incredible painters in Spain.
The standard is improving all the time, particularly with this, where you get a new set of rules, people are painting for the new set of rules.
And you're only painting 100 figures for this, so it's really doable to get a proper paint job, because Peter picked up that army for what, about... 100 quid, was it? 150 euros? Yeah. 120 quid, a whole beautiful Nikephorian army. All the options, really, that you'd use within reason.
It was alright.
Yeah, I know yours is better, Dave.
But the ones I've just painted recently were really, really good.
Yeah.
I've even drilled the hands out.
Which figures did you use? Essex?
No, they're Kurusani.
Kurusani.
I got given some.
Well, you can't afford the customs,
No.
It's just too much of a risk. About like 8 quid extra supplement.
It was actually really nice at this show as well with the vendors, because they actually had big boxes of Essex figures. And
that guy was just a distributor. Yeah. Essex.
So you could actually just filter through and have a look at the figures and see what.
And he had Merliton, Zeiston.
The Merliton figures are really good, and Donington. I wanted to buy some, but.
And he even had some of the Corvus Belli stuff that's out of production, didn't he?
Yeah.
I ummed and ahed about getting some Spanish, because I've got sort of about 8 or 10 elements of Spanish, and you think...
He's Roman, he's Imperial Roman. The Corvus Belli, Imperial Roman figures.
Yeah.
There's the two brothers in Portsmouth who's painted them up with a Russell Crowe.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Their army was absolutely fantastic, and I wanted to do that. And then Corvus Belli went out of business.
Went out of business, yeah.
And I was actually looking at his list, thinking, is there enough? But there was not enough.
No.
There's probably not enough left.
In the world.
Unpainted in the world.
I thought about trying to expand the Spanish out, because my Spanish, they came out really well when I painted it. Then I thought, it's another Gallic army, isn't it? Why do I want to buy extra figures to paint another? I've got that Gallic army, so it's just the same as that one. So maybe not. But then again, it looks like we're... just about
passing British customs. So we're kind of in no man's land at the moment.
Yeah. We're back to Charleroi discussions, aren't we? No man's land between civilization and zombie apocalypse. I think it's been, as it's getting dark, it's been an entertaining weekend. And we managed to fill some time.
I'd say classic.
Classic. If Charleroi had actually been a nice place, it wouldn't have been as good a weekend.
I would go back if the world's there again.
Yeah.
Even though Charleroi is a place you would never in your life...
You'd go back to it.
If you met a new girlfriend, you certainly wouldn't take her there for an impressive weekend.
No, it's great. When you look on like TripAdvisor or stuff, there's all the comments are all like, I stayed here because I thought it'd be nicer than staying at the airport. I was wrong. That was it, before an easy jet flight at 3 in the morning.
Deeply unfair on the place.
Yeah. All right. Oh, we're being stopped. We're still coming on.
Donaghy.
This way. Thank you. UK Border Control. Here we go. What's that? Is that someone's Ducati? I wonder if the microphone picks it up. possibly. Actually, possibly before, as we're about to do UK Border Patrol, probably time to sign off, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, done.
Bye. All right.
Bye.